accession number 23363, reel 7.
Reg Best, reel 8.
You were talking about your colleague who wouldn't accept medical treatment.
Yes, well, he was shot in the foot, and I took him. One thing he wanted was his Bibles. I remember going out afterwards to the field ambulance where they were treating him, and from there he was taken back to England, actually. I never saw him again. Yes, he. But this, he seemed to have terrific faith with these people. They are well known, not and they have had a newspaper that was read, well read in this country. But I can't think. Anyway, sorry. Can't think. Can't remember everything. But so we followed the Germans now, who were retreating on the far side of the Rhine. And of course it became a long front with the Americans way down, further up the river, capturing the bridge intact. Forget the name again. And that helped a lot, of course, and the Germans were really pushing them back at this point. They were really on the run. And we followed up into back through Holland for a while, having gone into Germany, and back into Holland. Couple of places, Hengelo and 20, were taken with very little damage to them, and of course the local people were delighted and fated us accordingly. If the places had been, if they'd suffered a bit, they were of course weren't so keen, but if you had at least they had lovely little towns too, clean Dutch towns in their natural state. 20, I think one of them was called, T-W-E-N-T-E, I'm not sure. From there back into Germany again, up through a place called Cloppenburg, which I mentioned was where this poor chap was shot in the foot. And a bit of bother there. And we went on. As we went, we were actually liberating prisoner of war, English, German prisoner of war camps. What do they call them, for Pete's sake?
PWs.
No, the camps.
Stalags.
Stalag, yes. And remember one where they just came out through the gates, and were crazy driving around on bicycles, and we couldn't hang around. We pressed on.
Would those prisoners have been taken back through your lines?
They would have been, yes. Yes. Not by the engineers. The infantry would deal with that.
What sort of condition were they in, physically?
I can't remember the English prisoners being particularly shaken. You know, their condition, I thought, was pretty good, rather different to when we liberated some Russian slave workers, I suppose, that the Germans took to work for them. Around Bremen, we released some of them, and they did look very poorly, poorly nourished, and still wearing their horrible pyjamas and things that the Germans gave them.
Did you have any contact with the Jewish concentration camps, the liberation of those?
Not personally, no. We weren't far from Bremen. I'm not sure if it was the 43rd that liberated Bremen or not. It was on our sort of flank to even pass it. But did I say Bremen?
Yes.
No, Belsen. Belsen. We were at Bremen. When it was liberated, and there was I was asked to send one man, and the whole of divisional headquarters sent a lorry with representatives of all our different sections. And I sent a very young wireless operator I had, and Martin Lou or something his name was, and he came back very shaken with what he saw and didn't really want to. He told us roughly what it was, but he didn't want to talk about it. Everything you hear about it, I think, is must be true. Terrible. Terrible. Fortunately. I wish I'd gone, actually. That would have been a sort of experience. But I had to spread these. We stayed outside Bremen and with the R engineers, and in the back of our command vehicle, of course, behind the operators, was the CRE and his staff. One of his staff by this time was an intelligence officer who used to use his intelligence that he was given to some personal advantage. And I won't mention his name, although I remember it actually. He used to have details of the streets that were to be cleared in a place like Bremen, with what which shop was sold what and what they were as you went along the street. Obviously, a greater use to the infantry, who would sort of clear it building by building and street by street. He used to clear it street by street and see what he could pick up on the way after the infantry had made it safe for him to do so. Well, there was still a fighting going on, and I suppose a certain risk, but wouldn't have been very great on his part. And he used to make a beeline for the jewellers shops and so on, and come away with some quite valuable and not too large loot. He used to take one of my chaps, an electrician who didn't have very much to do, join the gang. I don't remember particularly, it was at Bremen, but back in Bronson, or afterwards, I don't know where it was, but they then went further than looting. There wasn't much to loot, and so we drove up through the shop and boat place like that. He'd find out, they'd go out, and as far as I could gather, they even engaged in a bit of rape, which was horrible. So I got to hear of it and fetched this bloke up and told him he wasn't to go out with them anymore. But I was never in any way involved in it apart from him.
Was so, there a lot of looting going on?
Oh yeah, everybody was doing a bit of looting, yes. I went for cameras. A Leica, I remember. Got a Leica. Usually the stuff I picked up didn't work properly after I got. Oh, and any Lugers or weapons, which a lot of they had in their houses. And had a better have a revolver, which we thought might come handy rather than having to mess about with a Sten gun or something. But yes, we all did a minor bit of looting. Took a fancy to a big clock. The chiming clock, beautiful I thought it was, so I picked it up and put it in the truck. Actually got it back to England in the end in my kit bag, rather foolish, but I could put some much better stuff in my kit bag when it came to humping it at the last gasp. But there you are, I haven't got that far yet. Division Brunson, the passports. We're at Bremen. They're under Bremen, mixing Bremen and Brunson. From Bremen, the war was drawing to a close, and the division were told to take Bremerhaven, which obviously would have been useful for the Navy once we had secured it on the shore side. And we headed up on this Bremerhaven road, and we really held up the division for quite a while with the German blowing large craters in the roads using sea mines, which they fetched from ships in Bremerhaven, presumably. And that delayed things for the advance quite considerably. And
how did the Rimi overcome that?
Well, it became you mean the engineers?
Yes.
Rimi? Not Rimi wouldn't be involved in things. But no, the sappers had to bridge. Had to bridge every hole with Bailey bridges. It'd probably be about 20 feet, 30 feet across. Each one, so that the tanks and whatnot, which we needed to go up to in any advance, could cross it. And it was delaying things. The headquarters, of course, divisional headquarters, was hanging about behind the area. And then came, this was August, if I remember rightly.
This is prior.
Yes.
Prior to
surrender.
B-Day,
yes.
It's May, beginning of May.
August was VJ Day.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Came to the 4th, I think, of May. And the Germans were surrendering pretty fast. And that evening, on Lüneburg Heath, we heard that they had surrendered to Monty as far as the Second Army was concerned. He took the surrender on Lüneburg Heath, and the signal went out. I was in our own wireless cabin at the time. It came through that the surrender had been taken, and the German war was virtually over. It was over for me and all the others.
How did you feel?
I felt fine at the time. And that evening, when the artillery were firing off, it was quite a feeling to, you got to the end and you were still there. Some relief, obviously. I mean, we had a service which a surprising number attended in open field. The padre took. Wasn't compulsory, anybody would come.
Emotional experience.
Yeah. Yes. And further, that night the artillery fired off coloured shells instead of actual rocket, and live in the proceedings, of course, and the Sergeant Major, who I was with all the time with the engineers, the RSM, fetched out a large jar of, I can't remember, gin or rum, that he'd save for just such an occasion. We duly sank that. Old Jock, our driver, disgraced himself for losing his teeth, which he never found the next morning, though we searched everywhere for them. But he obviously couldn't hold it all, and his teeth went with what he couldn't hold. Emotional experience. I had a further emotional experience the following morning. They came to me, said, "You're wanted in company office." Duly reported to this company office, which of course was just a 3-ton lorry in the back of a field, and they said, "You're posted posted, I thought. I mean, group 28, perhaps our posting has come through to be demobbed at this stage. He said, you're posted to the Far East. I was shattered. Told to report to take a truck next day, so given a driver and with another chap who was a sergeant in the cipher section who I hadn't previously known, who was alright, the two of us. To report to somewhere down Hanover way somewhere, and to be ferried by, well, shouldn't it be by rail, by lorry all the way back to England for a week's embarkation leave. So set off the next morning with this driver, who quite a lad, and I said, well, look, why are we? We don't want to go in the back of a 3-ton lorry with all our stuff along. I said, yeah, how about you driving us on? A little bit of adventure again, and I didn't care. I really didn't care. What happened? We take your truck further on than we did. We diverted, didn't go to Hanover. Set off to make for Belgium. Bruges, I think, was the marshalling area that you eventually had to go to. And so we went off in the truck. We hadn't gone awfully far when we saw a German in a very smart sports car, broken down, with a very attractive bird with him, who he seemed worried that he couldn't get where he wanted anyway. And we said, well, we can't take you anywhere, but we'll take your we said, well, we can't take the fella. Don't know if he's in civilians, I think. But we said we'd take his girlfriend or whatever, because he wanted to go to Oldenburg, way up in Germany, go home to her parents. So we said we'd take her, which involved us stops on the way. Quite a long way. We stopped one night and put up our tent. She got in the middle again. It's only a little tent, my little tent. Yeah. Yes. He was a married bloke, this fellow. I was surprised, you know. I mean, anyway, we won't dwell on what happened in the tent. Packed it up next morning and went on to Oldenburg, and we went into her house and had breakfast. Didn't hang about. Preston, I said, well, let's press on. We got to Nijmegen on the way back, and by which time it was VE Day. And the Dutch were celebrating like mad, and we thought, what if we go where we knew some Dutch when we were in Nijmegen, they'd be just the ones to celebrate with. Well, they were very friendly, but I think I'd learnt the Dutch national anthem. And the Limmerlijn in Dutch. I sang it in Dutch before I knew it in English. Didn't know it in German. But when I sing it now, they think it is German. When I add it to a rendering of the Limmerlijn. Yes, and they're celebrating in the streets. like mad, dancing, and so on. And the attitude was that they'd liberated themselves. They'd forgotten in the meantime, because I suppose it was a few weeks or something since we were there. And any Dutch resistance, of course, received a great welcome. But we were happy. I can't remember, don't know where we slept, probably in somebody's house that night. Pressed on back to Bruges, where we were to pick up a lorry to take us to Ostend, the way home. There's quite an interesting thing about Bruges. They had a funfair going. I suppose they were liberated much earlier. And they had a funfair going, which we duly went to that night. And I got a wonderful souvenir of it, or did have. One of the things I regret losing, souvenirs I regret losing more than anything, because we went on the 2-2 firing range that they had there. And if you hit the bull, or whatever it was, a camera, it operated a camera to give you what they call these ready, print themselves.
A Polaroid.
Polaroid. Well, not one with a lot of pictures on. No, or was it? Anyway, from it emerged a picture of it. The camera took the person firing, and it was a wonderful picture. Remember it?
Mm.
And I've kept it safe for a long time, and it's in all the years after, 50 years later, it was still clear. But so many of the prints you had then, you know, vague, but this was still so clear. Anyway, you're not interested in that. So, from Bruges, back to Ostend, home to England, taken up to Thirsk.
Did you have some home leave?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, 7 days. 7 days embarkation leave.
How long had it been since you'd been home?
What would it be? Back in 44 March. Sometime about Christmas 43, I think. Had a good welcome, of course. And then back to holding unit in Huddersfield, just outside Huddersfield. By which time I made up my mind, well, we're going to have a good time. And we had a wild week in Huddersfield. I went away to a wild. Yeah.
What were your impressions of what was waiting for you in the Middle East, or the Far
East? The Far East? Well, I thought, this is it. I thought, I've been lucky so far, it can't happen again. You know. And I don't think we knew much of what the Japs... We heard of what the Japs were up to in Burma, of course, in news items. And fighting the Japanese didn't sound as though it was going to be very fatal. Yeah. We'd heard of this camp that would take the prisoners to go on the Burma Railway and so on. And we didn't expect a very good reception anyway. But it didn't make it worry.
So what sort of training did you have at the camp at first?
Training where?
When you went back to your new holding camp.
Oh, it was only a week. Only a week, there wasn't really any training. We were hanging around to be allotted to a ship. We went to push off after a week to Liverpool and boarded the Scythia, Cunard ship. And was took the trip out. It
were you kitted out with tropical gear?
Yes. Oh yes. Yeah. And we're headed for Bombay, where we would be allotted to whatever units they decided to send us to. It was that the other chaps were mostly sergeants, and we were linked up with a great crowd of fairly raw recruits who had just done their basic training and going out. So we were sort of several years their senior, and just waited to see who we finished up with after Bombay. While we were on this troop ship, of course, they had the elections in England, and well, I remember standing on deck singing the red flag. Fool that I was. Encouraged by some left-wing chap from the Salisbury area who sort of teamed up with, being from the same area. Hadn't seen him before in the war, and he subsequently did become I don't think he became an MP or something, but he was very involved. And we even composed a little song. I know the tune, when you're browned off and gradually getting thinner, come down to second sitting dinner, because we used to mock the officers when the thing came through on the tannoy that second sitting dinner was being served, you know. And we had to go down to our only sitting dinner, which was involved corned beef or something like that. So my two porthole things, it got so hot going through the Red Sea and thing. And we wrote on the, you make a great big sort of funnel to catch the wind, to drive through the porthole onto the mess deck, try and get some air in. And for the benefit of the officers above, I know we wrote Belson on one, and what's the other place? Buchenwald? Anyway, on top of this thing. And we got a bit of a rocket for that when I came down and dumped the thing on it.
What did you feel about Churchill being ousted?
Oh, I felt it was awful. And I say, fool I was, shouting for the red flag. If any political feelings I've had since, I felt a bigger fool for. I didn't have a vote, actually. We were on the ship. I think it was somewhere where you should have done or something, but I don't think we got organised for that. Yes, well, Churchill going out of government at that time was a tragedy for the whole country, I thought. And under Attlee, perhaps himself might have been a bad chap, but he... Oh, yeah. To my mind, he has it's wrong policies and wrong things happen, like India. We see the troubles today in India was largely through... Wouldn't have happened if it had been properly handled at the time and with patience. And, of course, I heard somebody on the news here the other day saying... It was a parade we went to on the D-Day parade down to Torquay, where the American chap or somebody was giving an address